di bambu cuci yasu. Betina di bambu tam, di bambu cuci yasu.
Lay down, y'all, let me take this timba. Lay down, y'all, let me take this timba. Lay down, y'all, let me take this timba.
Thank you. unfortunate colored man who got rested down in old Hong Kong. He got 20 years privilege taken away from him when he kicked old Buddha gone. And now he's bobbing the piano just to raise the price of a ticket to the land of the free. He say his home's in Frisco where they send the rice, but it's really in Tennessee. That's why he say, I need someone to love me, need somebody to carry me home to San Francisco and bury my body there. Oh, I need someone to lend me a $50 bill and then I'll leave Hong Kong far behind me for happiness once again. But won't someone believe I begin to see that bay again? But when I try to leave, sweet local man won't let me fly away. I need someone to love me, need somebody to carry me home to San Francisco and bury my body there. His privilege taken away from him when he kicked old Buddha gone.
I had to throw on that Hoagy Carmichael when I heard you play Hong Kong Blues.
That was fun.
I had to put on the weird original version of it.
I put that on, and then when I put that on, then you were like, oh, wait, can I throw this on before we go to break? And I was like, hell yeah, dude, let's do that.
I need someone to take my body back to San Francisco and bury me there.
Take my body back. Yeah. What do you want to happen with your body when you die? Call in or... Right on our, our group chat on RadioValencia.fm, and, What do you want to happen? What do you want to happen with your body when you die? Please, let us know. Let's have that conversation, because honestly, I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's changing. It's very much changing.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation, because even... like cremation, I feel like even these days that's kind of fallen out of favor, and but other more eco-friendly alternatives are vastly more expensive.
Anyway,
I digress.
Or you could do the Hunter Thompson and build a giant canyon that would cost thousands of dollars.
I'm like, dump my body in the woods and let the buzzards pick me clean. But weirdly, that's not an easy enough option as you would think it would be.
So yes. Hong Kong Blues, oddly enough, a San Francisco song, but I guess our Chinatown is very famous.
But also, because fortune cookies were invented here.
They argue here or L.A., but definitely one of the two, yes.
Yeah. What do you mean?
There's an argument between here or L.A.
Oh, actually, I've never heard that. Yeah. I've just always heard that it was
because we live here.
Oh, well.
But it's definitely one of the two.
Okay, so I've always heard here,
California.
But...
There's an argument between two fortune cookie companies, I think.
Oh, interesting.
The one here in Chinatown.
Right.
There's one in, I guess, Chinatown, L.A.? Wild guess. I don't know.
I actually have never heard that in all my growing up in the Bay Area and living in San Francisco for over 20 years.
I think,
I never heard that we had a competitor for that claim.
I think most people side with San Francisco on that one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the phonograph, the movie camera. Everyone argues, you know, like... Edison's always fighting with France over a movie camera and a photograph. I think it's England and France, England and Edison.
Well, and also it's like San Francisco was the Chinatown prior to SoCal.
Yes, yes.
Because of the building of the railroad and the gold rush and the big four with like Crocker and all of that. Yeah. But... That's a historical exploration for another evening.
Anyway, it's one or the other. Let's see. We had Voodoo Sweet, that record. There was no tracks really written on that. It was confusing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Voodoo Sweet.
Almost like Summer a little bit.
It's also like one of those super cool covers where it's like this kind of belly dancing babe that, you know... Gorgeous cover, and a lot of times, like, I feel like a lot of those records from the late 50s, early 60s, where it's just, like, those gorgeous babes on the cover, and even that publisher, Taschen, they've published a lot of, like, books where it's just, like, hot babes from from record covers, but, you know, I'm like, that deserves its own publication.
I have a Taschen book somewhere. I don't know where it is.
I have a few, but anyway... But it's also a great record, despite just buying it for cool cover aside. But it is one of those where, like, if I buy it for the cool cover and the record sucks, who cares? I have a cool cover and I'm out $2. Who gives a shit? Because it is one of those, like, $1.99 bin records, you know?
We had before that the instrumental Hong Kong Blues, which made me play the other one, but one by Martin Denny he put on from Exotica.
Yeah, Martin Denny.
Do you think he's got like 10 albums called Exotica or like 40 albums called Exotica?
More like 40, maybe 40 plus. I mean, Martin Denny is quote unquote the...
See, stop putting numbers on him. Just put a come on, Exotica.
Martin Denny is the quote unquote godfather of... Tiki Lounge Exotica. And I mean, he did live in Hawaii for many years. I'm not actually even sure if he lived in Southeast Asia at all or traveled there, but I mean, he is a white American dude, but did travel and live in other areas. But I do feel like it's important to acknowledge that his title of father or whatever is father or grandfather of Exotica Lounge is strictly in respect to American music.
Yeah.
And there is the aspect where I feel like it's important to acknowledge that he did bring an element of music that American culture had not previously seen to our society, and that is cool and important to acknowledge, but it's also important to acknowledge that, A, that is not his culture, and he's not from his culture, and the music that he was playing was his own thing.
Yeah.
And that's
also the culture at that.
That's totally okay.
The culture at that time was also very hungry for that kind of otherworldly music.
Yes,
them,
yes, and I hear you and I agree with you. But what I'm also, I guess, the point that I'm trying to make is that there is a important distinction to make between saying like that he was an American and this was his American spin on another culture versus his claiming it as an authentic
I think it was his own
thing.
Style.
I agree with that as well, but I think over maybe the decades there has been kind of some confusion and even like backlash.
I was unaware
about
of that.
Yes, there has been some backlash of Martin Denny's music that he kind of overtook or appropriated or, you know, like native music and claimed it as his own. And
I think he's interpreting it. I don't know about that.
I'm not saying I agree or disagree with anything. I'm just saying because we did play his music tonight. I think it's just important to acknowledge that and put that out there and make that little bit of disclaimer that I think that, you know, yes, he is an American person and he loved the culture and the music and he and it heavily obviously influenced him and he made beautiful music heavily influenced by that, but it was his own spin on it.
Of course.
But like I said, there has been backlash or
I don't think you could
confusion that that like I said, people have been like, oh, he's claiming it as his own or whatever, hey, what or that you... he is misrepresenting a culture. And I just think it's important to say and make that distinction.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing that. I mean, I think he's not exploiting anything. It's just an interpretation of things. I mean, once you call something exotica, you're proving that, like, you know, I'm just giving this exotic other kind of, you know, music from other places a place within my own music.
I don't have a definitive opinion.
I didn't know there was an issue with Martin
Denny. But I do think that, I think that he loved the culture and the music and was a musician himself and
inspired him to
put his own spin on it. And I really don't think he had any ill intention of
seems very unlikely
trying
to me.
To assume an identity or culture or ethnicity that he was not. I really don't think that's what he was trying to do. I really just think it was about, you know, a musical passion.
That's pretty obvious.
And I think it was, at the end of the day, a really cool thing that his crossover brought his musical talent and passion and...
But like I was saying,
and introduced it to a lot of people that wouldn't know about it normally. And this was also the time of the 1950s when international air travel was very hot and fun and exotic.
But this kind of music was hot. People wanted, they were craving things from other lands, whether it was authentic or not.
Right.
They were just craving media that felt like it was from a faraway land, like you said, because they can get there by airplanes now.
Right. So like I said, that was also part of like the air travel thing, because prior to that, it's like air travel was not something that was accessible to the mass media or mass population. And starting in the 1950s, you know, now all of a sudden the kind of slightly more average Joe Schmo could be like, oh, wow, I could go to Tahiti. I could go to Hawaii. And that kind of started that obsession with tiki, lounge, exotica culture. And Martin Denny did kind of facilitate that fascination.
So did someone else we're going to get to in a minute,
And for better or for worse, I mean, whether it was historically, culturally accurate, it did facilitate...
It's the 50s,
it did facilitate a cross-cultural exchange, and like I said, whether it was accurate, not necessarily, but it did...
It doesn't matter for the time.
But, yeah, and like I said, and also at the time, it got people curious.
Yeah, accuracy
in a way they had never been before. And at the end of the day, back then, like, I think that was a win.
Yeah, I agree. And
to boil it down in a simplicity way.
It's a road.
That's
somewhere.
A phrase now.
Before that. Daya Mama? Daya Manana.
Daya Mana. I probably typed that in wrong.
Maybe. It sounds cool. But no, it's from Guyana Jungle, so it could be totally typed in right.
Yeah.
It's just hard to pronounce.
I don't even remember it. I think I might have bought that at Grooves on Market in Octavia.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that spot's a little bit underrated for their international. I mean, they don't have an awesome international section, but I feel like it's... Their international is maybe better than most people would maybe give them credit for.
Yeah.
Like, it's fair that you go to a record store and they actually have their own section for Native American music.
Do they
and
there?
And Grooves has their own section for Native American music. Oh. And for, like, a small little corner, musty record store to have your own section dedicated to Native American.
Yeah.
That's very fucking cool. They're a good spot.
haven't been there in many years.
Please visit Grooves on Market and Octavia if you're in the city, Bay Area. Grooves is very awesome.
Jimmy Griff record there about 15 years ago, about last time I was there.
They're very cool. They're good folks.
Before that, we had some Corla Pandit, which kind of goes back to your Martin Denny thing I was going to bring up. Corla Pandit, you got this great record here, Latin Holiday, which has no Latin grooves on it at all. But Corla was, one of the first people on TV. He was an organ piano player right when TV started. He was like an early TV celebrity, but he was part of that Exotica movement. He was this exotic person doing like weird... It wasn't on this record we listened to. It was a lot of more Eastern scales. He wore a big turban, and, he was very, everyone was craving that, You had, women dancing with fruit on their head, right? You had Corla playing with his turban.
Yeah, because it's you had, Carmen Miranda. Exactly. And,
Same era.
But it's, even prior to that, you had, what's her name? Why am I blinking out?
I'm saying there was a social craving for that. Certain people feel the need. Corla was one of the first people to fill that need.
Yeah.
He was a big celebrity in early TV. And his career faded because that whole Exotica thing kind of died in the 60s, sort of.
It did. Kind of like late 60s, because then it kind of became more about the Americana and the British invasion.
Rock and roll and
British invasion. Yeah,
and also jazz kind of killed it too, once jazz, hard bop and all
that. But like I said, the British invasion, because then it was Beatles and Twiggy.
Exactly. So Corley kind of fell out of favor in Hollywood.
Right.
He moved to Sausalito, I believe. He lived late 60s through the end of his life, I think, up here. He's a local guy.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
That's why this record is Fantasy Records, Berkeley. Do you know what Fantasy got famous for, made all their money?
Fantasy Records?
Yeah.
Hold on, accessing. Fantasy Records, No, I don't.
Credence. They put out all the Credence, and Credence blew up, so Fantasy Records became super popular.
I thought they were on Chrysalis.
No, Fantasy put them out.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway.
I did not know. Fun fact.
Well, another fun fact I was going to say on the back of this record, I think it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's Bay Area. It says, cover photo by Tom King.
Nerd alert.
Come on, this is funny. Wait till I read it. Cover photo by Tom King at San Francisco's most exotic restaurant, Alexis Tangier. Mr. King chose this famous Knob Hill setting as being the most fitting in lighting and atmosphere to serve as the background for Corla Pandit's personality. That's on the jacket. Isn't that great?
It's important to mention that on the cover of this album, he's wearing he's totally wearing this. What's the Tom Hanks fortune teller movie? Zorba. Zorba.
I don't remember the name. But from Big,
It's on the cover of the album, he's wearing this fortune teller of Zorba,
Also, by the way, the Indian...
It's not a beautiful, Sikh, turban, It looks costumey. Looks like fortune teller,
It is.
Atlantic City fortune teller Zorba.
Yeah.
Turban.
But it is, I think I told you before, but for our listeners, Corla was Indian for all his music was Indian, Exotica, right?
Right.
And it was all fake. He's a black guy.
Oh, right, yeah, no, we talked about that.
He's a black guy, and his family... His wife and his kids didn't even know he was... They thought he was Indian.
Yeah.
American until, the later years of his life.
Well, and
He lived a lie so long, he couldn't...
He was like, well, this is just my life now. I can't get out of it. Because who is that? Who is the guy? Remember, I think it was when we were kids in the 80s that, Indian... quote-unquote Indian guy in the commercials where he saw, the litter and he was, the glistening tear in his eye.
I don't remember,
You don't remember that?
Oh, you mean the litter? Yeah.
It's like he saw the glistening tear in his eye and he turned around. He was Italian. And, he always got jobs acting as, a Native American, and it was just one of those things where once he got jobs as a Native American, then he's just like, well, shit, I'm a Native American, and he got more jobs that way, but then later it came out, he was like, no, he was Italian.
But anyway, I brought up that he was black, because you talk about his headgear looking costumey, it really was, that's all I was saying. All right, let me get through these songs real quick, because we'll try to play something else, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
this hard shit to stay, all this international. Teora Mi Te Hey by Quinn's Orchestra. I like that record. A Night of Quinn's is the name of that record.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's a good one.
Honnekin at Midnight by Frank Motley and his Motley Crew.
His Motley Crew.
From Louis Limbo Lounge.
Louis Limbo Lounge.
Do you think they were hanging out with Motley Crew and they were like
in
the 90s?
I think they have that Louis Limbo Lounge at the jukebox at Frankie's.
Oh, yeah.
Frankie's Tiki Bar in Las Vegas if you go there.
Oh, excellent.
And they definitely have some of the frolic, comps. So please go to Frankie's if you're in Vegas. It's awesome tiki place, good folks, good drinks.
Excellent.
Good spot.
Hold on, I'm doing multiple things here. Honkin' at Midnight by Frank Motley. Oh, that was, I just said that one. I did. Miss Lita Jones by the Chargers from Frolic Diner?
Frolic Diner.
Volume 2? Yeah,
that's
what I was
just saying. They have those Frolic Diner comps at Frankie's Tiki in Las Vegas. They're great, great lounge tiki comps. And
cool.
When I went to Frankie's and I saw they had those on the jukebox, I was like, sick.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, I found something to put on after this. I was trying to cue up some music, too, while we're talking.
Yeah.
I found something international, if that's okay.
Please.
We're on that trip right now.
Absolutely.
We're almost through this, and we'll play some music, I swear.
Let's do it.
One more. Oh. Taboo.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
there's a track on it. Arthur yeah. Lindman from Taboo.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. I got the Taboo
yeah.
Volume 1
yeah, this,
that
this
I played because I already had Volume 2.
Okay. Is this 1 or
so,
2 we played?
Well, no, it's just, I played Volume 1.
Okay.
I played Volume 2 earlier. But, yeah, those are awesome comps. Highly recommend if you come across them. Those Taboo comps, fucking
right.
killer.
Cool.
And they're often in, like, the discount used bin,
yeah,
but...
Yeah.
Amazing. Highly recommend.
Cool. All right, let's play some music. This is Beyond the Limits. I'm DJ Doug.
I'm DJ Little His Muffet.
See you until midnight. I'm going to play some more international instrumental music.
Oh!
Here we go.
Thank you. Oh,